Hope. Yeah, hope. We all here and we in a comfortable, sitting comfortably in the way that will support you and conserve your energy, because we've got a practice session ahead of us. And what we will do is I'll talk for some time first, and then we'll do a little bit of chanting with sort of meditation slash kind of going into more of a reflection. And then I'll talk some more, and then we'll have a meditation. So, and I feel like here we are, and the time is doing its elastic miracle already. So, who would have thought it that we only a day into a retreat, it already feels like we've been in this realm for some time. And I feel like, especially in the session at 4 o'clock, and I know that that was in the middle of the night for Justine. So when you were sleeping, maybe you were dreaming of us doing a puja for the green Tara. And we entered this realm of greenery with Amoghasiddhi being the green Buddha and green Tara. We're in this greenery. And for me, greenery has got a real connotation with nature. So when you're sitting in the nature, it's almost like you can be present to reality. And what you're being present to is this quality of shimmering, vibrating energy. So nature has got that quality of constant flow and dynamism. And it doesn't necessarily require effort. It's just being in constant flow. It's sort of an effortless flow that is going on. And there is something for us just to open up to that effortlessness. I was away for 2 weeks on a solitary, and I spent quite a bit of time sort of just sitting and staring, and the company I had were three sheep. And the sheep were just so active the whole day. The whole day they were just sort of browsing the meadow and eating. But you kind of didn't see them going, oh, I'm so tired grazing away here. You know, they were constantly in motion. But it was just effortless. They were just being, you know, being what they do. So we've entered. So for me, the nature has got those quality, the quality of energy. And Amoghasiddhi and Green Tara, they're both these archetypal embodiments of action. And that action is compassionate. It's unobstructed and playful and bounded and fearless and courageous. And what they embody is this perfect balance. When I was thinking about this retreat and specifically about the session, what came to mind was my childhood toy. I got this, you know, traditional weights that you could put things on. And it gave me a real joy when I was able to balance the weights, the scales, in just the perfect balance. I just got enormous joy out of that. And what you're doing with the scales, when you're playing with weights, you're kind of learning to get a feel for that. You're learning to get a feel for how to balance the two sides, how to kind of create a perfect balance. And when I was playing with that, you just experiment, and I've got this real vivid memory of, you know, putting something really heavy on the scale and the scale just going whoosh, and just being, you know, like in my little childhood head, we're talking, you know, I'm 5 or 7, and I'm thinking, oh, that is heavy. So it's like learning about energy, learning about balance, learning about weight. And you're learning this working knowledge. And I saw that being really fascinated when I would go for shopping with my parents, and we would still have like traditional groceries, or, and you would ask for, you know, 1.5 kilos of something, and they would put exactly the right thing on the weights, just by their estimate. Or if you ask for a salad, they would kind of put a couple of spoons and it was perfectly, you know, it was the 30 grams that you've asked for, or 35 grams that you've asked for. So I was really fascinated how people get this feel for what's just right. And even with cooking, I was cooking in a retreat center. And I remember sort of rolling these energy balls where you sort of putting carrots together and nuts, and then you weighing that, and it's, you just creating perfect balls that are exactly the same. So you might get that with falafels, so they all bake at the same time. So there is something about, this perfect balance, and it's something that is experiential, and that we get to learn that, we get to get a feel for that. And so far what we've talked about in relation to energy, we've looked at the first precept, so Bodhidila explored how that might link to the traditional first precept, where we undertake to abstain from taking life, and in its positive context, it's with deeds of loving kindness, we purify our body. And then looking at that tantric equivalent of that, where we undertake to not obstruct the energy of another person. So far we were looking at the quality of non-harm, and we were looking at non-harm, or what might be nourishing or kindly conditions for the seed of our own potential to flourish. And what that might be for others, what kind of nourishing conditions we might be able to create for others. So with that first precept, we were looking at clearing obstructions and creating conditions. And in the afternoon, Bodhidila sort of explored how much fear can be an obstacle, and you might have thought what those obstacles might be for you. How does that manifest at the moment for you in relation to energy? So what we're going to do is start going into another quality, and that is the quality of generosity. And it's a quality and direction of that energetic flow, and especially in relation to its impact. When we're talking about energy, has it got this sort of tightening, shriveling impact? Or is it releasing? Is it opening? Is it freeing? And the traditional precept is, I undertake to abstain taking the not given. So I undertake to abstain taking the not given. And I find interesting the word abstain. There is that, because abstaining, there is some kind of release of energy. You step back and you're making some kind of decision and you're following through on that decision. So there is that recognition, there is something that might not be given to me, and you abstain from taking it. So you kind of step back in that. And the equivalent of that in positive terms is, with open-handed generosity, I purify my body. And I was thinking, you know, what does that feel like in the body energetically? What happens when one gives open-handedly? What actually happens? And this is kind of pre-Buddhist times for me, spending time in Denmark for 3 months. I kind of got immersed in the Danish culture, and I felt like they were really into sort of celebrating Christmas, and they're really into putting up amazing party in which there is an enormous creativity that happens, an enormous kind of preparation that happens as part of that. And in the run-up to Christmas, they've got this tradition where each person selects somebody and they become their kind of elf. And this, when you become somebody's elf, you just like giving something to that person. And you know, this is not like 1 day or 2 days. Sometimes, like when we did that for a month. So for a month, you this elf that's just kind of makes little things, you know, it can be just preparing breakfast in a particular way, or just, you know, it could be opening the door, or it could be kind of helping. I was in a sport sort of context, so it would be kind of helping somebody to warm up or giving them a snack before you have one. So it will be this act of generosity. And I can't tell you how you get to know the other person. And what happens in that process is that you kind of, it's like this attention moves from yourself onto another. So they become in the center of your attention. And you're kind of thinking, how can I be of help here? How can I bring about joy? And I find that a similar thing that happened on another retreat where we were exploring, ethics, and we were looking into generosity. And again, we took a person out from ahead who we would be generous to. For a couple of days. And I happened to choose a person who I actually felt really competitive with. And there was a bit of envy. Bodhilila was talking about envy being associated with Amoghasiddhi. And suddenly, I had to relate to the person in a different way, because I had to think of what will make that person joyful for the day. What can I offer for them to be in a different sort of, so they can feel joyful, cared for, loved? And the competitiveness went, and the pride went, and kind of jealousy or all of that just dissolved, because attention was, I was looking through different eyes. I was looking through the eyes of not comparing myself, but looking at who is this person and what will allow this person to feel joyful, to feel happy. So what is really freeing when we give openly, with open-handed generosity, what is really freeing about this experience? Or why do we call about the body being purified? And in some ways, it's because we release the ego, we release the self. And it's not like, you know, that there is a difference. It's not abandoning the self, it's releasing. And it's releasing self-importance, where you putting yourself, kind of everything revolving around mini me, and for that circle to be expanding a little bit. And I suppose with ego, we just want to protect this thing. And what we're trying to protect is something that doesn't even exist. You know, when we really want to focus and find this self, find this sort of non-changing, unchanging something, it's just not there. So imagine we're trying to protect something that's not there. How much energy is being tied up in that process of protecting something that's not there? So this particular precept is related to, I suppose, mostly restlessness and anxiety when Bodhilila was talking about the hindrances or the craving for sense desire. So craving, kind of wanting to grab something. And the opposite, what we're cultivating this giving, we're cultivating this open-handedness. So the tantric precept has got two aspects to it. So it's got the negative one and it's got a sort of positive part to it. So the negative one is, I undertake to not drain the energy of others. And the positive aspect is, I give freely of my own energy. So thinking first about the negative one, it's really strong image, isn't it? Being drained. You know, it's like this squeezing, shriveling up. I was traveling on a train on Wednesday. And you get these trains now that they've got these toilets where you've got the water there and suddenly you go, you know, it's like, it feels like everything gets sucked up that's there. So it's a really strong image of being drained. And I came across thinking about this when I was working in a sort of educational setting, and I was appointed at the time by one of the most inspiring people I get to know to this day. And it's somebody with an incredible amount of energy and a real clear purpose. So this person was serving young people in West London, actually in Fulham and Hammersmith. And they were just determined for people to get chances educationally so they could kind of live their life. They could, doors could open for them. And this person was really able to draw out the best out of everyone. And when I say everyone, you know, we're talking here 100 staff. And we're talking here 900 students. So we're talking quite a big scale. And this person was able to cultivate the seeds of everyone. And I was able to, this person became quite a friend and was a bit of a mentor for me at the time when I was in education. And She said something to watch out for. She said is for time stealers. When you're working in a school, watch out for time stealers. And you know, you could even talk about emotional vampires. And you know, again, really strong imagery here. You know, emotional vampire, somebody who's sucking one dry, you know, draining all the blood out of one. And you know, we are constantly relating and interacting in our life, and there is this flow of energy. And maybe it's useful to think of this flow of energy of having currents, and there are these intricate webs of currents, and sometimes it's undercurrents, you know, we don't even know what's quite happening with interactions when we're interacting with other people. And yeah, when form comes together, you know, when we manifest, at the moment we've got, you know, 17 different manifestations here on the screen, and it's just form and energy manifesting in each one of us. And when we're interacting, when we're relating to one another, what happens is that there is this intricate web of energy flowing. And sometimes you get strong currents, and sometimes you get these undercurrents. And what's important to kind of bear in mind is that this is not fixed. So we all have potential for being drained and for being draining. So we are not fixed, and our identity is not fixed. And what that means is that I'm not the person who drains energy of others. And he, she, or they are not the person who drains energy of others. But we often fix ourselves in these particular ways. We fix ourselves and we label people, you know, like you might, in your mind, you kind of think, oh, when I meet this person, it will be like this. You know, and you kind of already making up stories. But what happens is we are not fixed, and yet there are these habits of action. And I was thinking about it. I was on a convention with Bodhilila. We were meeting where there is like a gathering of different order members, and I happened to see my preceptor. So that's somebody who ordained me. And I thought, oh, what happens is like, sometimes when I meet my preceptor, I'm just kind of like, I just go blur, you know, and it all comes out. And I become the vampire who just kind of grabs and just drains. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to do that next time. And you know what? Next time comes, and what happens in an hour conversation? How long do I speak? You know, 50 minutes. And then my preceptor's got a little slot of about 10 minutes. So you can see how that can happen in the situation. And it happens in the relations and interactions. And it's not something fixed, but it's how we kind of interact and what happens in our relations and interactions. And it's very important to be aware and to be mindful and to recollect ourselves, and sometimes to put brakes on. You know, like there is that bit of, I'm not going to do this again. So it's a bit like, I might take on this precept, I undertake, I'm taking this on, that I will not drain the energy of others. So I'm taking that on, and what is important to do is that you get to, you need that level of awareness when it comes and you kind of sliding down, you know, and you kind of know where this is going, is to put the brakes on. And part of putting the brakes on means also that you can spot it at the first place, that you can be aware enough that you know where this is going. And why we do all of this, it's, you know, we it's important to reconnect with our inspiration and motivation. So we're taking anything on, any precept or any kind of practice, it's really important to have that inspiration and motivation in our minds. And in Buddhism, it's about cultivating compassion and wisdom and having that direct understanding how connected we actually are and how all life in the world, how we connected into that. And I think what's worth also saying about this is that when somebody is drained, they've got a choice in it as well. I know some people who, and I really admire this quality, that can just go into any situations and they can witness people in the most profound suffering. And what happens at the end of their interaction is they don't walk away carrying somebody else's heavy suitcases. They're fully present for when they're with a person and whatever is happening, and then they can leave it there. So they don't take on that energy onto themselves and kind of are being weighted by that. But in some ways, we've got no control over this. We've got no control of what other people do and how they are. And what we have control over is the choices that we make. You know, the kind of the training, the sort of how we work with our own minds, how we work in, with our own energy, how we practice. So I would say that spiritual path is really getting this intimate knowledge of ourselves. You know, getting to know, Bodhi Leela and Patricia will laugh because on the retreat, this is our motto at the moment, is really getting to know what makes you roll. It's how do you roll? You know, each one of you individually, what makes you be that seed, you know, grow into the plant that your seedling is within you, and how you can do it effortlessly. A little bit like in physics, you know, when there is no resistance and you've got a ball in motion, the ball wouldn't stop. It only comes to an end because there is resistance, because the energy is getting sort of something is in the way. So there is a lot about having awareness of oneself in relation to another. And what I suggest is that we explore that a little bit meditatively. So we'll have a period of chanting and meditation and reflection, or meditative reflection. And I want us to explore a little bit within our bodies and within our hearts. you know, this particular precept of not obstructing the energy of others. And just what happens within our bodies when that might be the case. And I want us to start with mantra chanting. We'll chant the green mantra, the green Tara mantra. And the reason is, I just thought when we were doing the puja, when we were doing the different verses, we were saying with green Tara, you know, we're laying down fears at your feet, green Tara, may you pacify these. And also, like, there was this line where it said, take my shaking hand in yours and gently form it into the mudra of fearlessness. I mean, what a beautiful image. And green Tara can pacify this hurricane of suffering and gales of longing and fear with her compassion. So I think it'll be good to sort of evoke green Tara within ourselves. So when we're reflecting, all of that reflection is not going through mini us, you know, through mini me, but it's actually being held in this Vajra bell of Tara's love. So let's do that. So just find a posture that will allow you to be comfortable and present. We'll chant for about 5 minutes. And then go into a meditative reflection after that. Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha. 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 Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha.
tarry, to tarry, to raise one. Om 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 tarry, to tarry, to raise one.
We're just allowing the vibration and the flow of the energy flowing through your body. And being received by the ground. Just having that kindness and compassion of the green Tara traveling through our body, each pore, and into the ground. So we like this tree that's filled with radiance and kindness, and it's got roots. Firm roots that connect us to the earth, making us grounded in the earth. Maybe you can feel the hand of Amoghasiddhi supporting your back. So the kindness, compassion of green Tara within and the fearless hand of Amoghasiddhi on which you can rest and lean against. Having Tara's kindness within, you might bring to mind a situation or time when you feel that you have drained somebody else's energy. And as you're breathing in, can fully recollect what was happening for you at the time. And just offering it within your heart to Tara's kindly compassion. Maybe recollecting of what was really needed at the time. What was it that was needed that you were after at the time? Just breathing that out, whatever that is. Breathing that out, whatever would be needed at that time. Just relying on the green Tara to pacify that suffering. Just breathing in whatever that situation and that difficulty and the energy was. And just breathing out whatever would have helped at the time. Whatever would have shifted that. Whatever would have let the energy flow. Maybe it's equanimity, this perfect balance. Maybe just kindness. Maybe just patience. And if needs be, just reconnecting with the earth, green Tara at your heart center, a compassionate quality of green Tara, the Vajra bell of compassion. And Amoghasiddhi's fearless hand, at the back, supporting you. And maybe letting go of any effort now. And dedicating our merit may all beings have conditions in which they can practice and find ways of relieving, letting go, transforming suffering. May they find compassion and wisdom. So allowing ourselves to make a transition from that reflection . Maybe what we can do is look at the other positive aspect of that precept. So we've got this negative way of practicing in terms of letting somebody, something, the energy not to be draining in relation to others. But that is something about cultivating to give freely of our own energy. And when we say freely, it means that there is that sense of openness. We often have this mudras that we talk about in Buddhism, and in Buddhist sort of symbolism, open mudra of generosity is this hand kind of going outwards, just open. So there is no stickiness, there are no strings attached. And it's interesting with Amoghasiddhi. I don't know whether you were able to lean in that meditation on the back of his fearless sort of mudra, but you know, in his mudra there is that openness, there is that, it's courage, but it's actually openness and steadiness, and there is no Velcro attached, you know, there's no stickiness there, it's just really open and the energy is just right. And Tara has got one leg sort of ready in action, ready to kind of step forward, readiness to act. I like this little poem by Hafiz. He says, "Even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, 'You owe me.' Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole world." So with generosity, there is, what is behind that is this abundance. And actually the sun is just being the sun. It's just doing something effortlessly. It's just being without obstructions. So it's a little bit like what Bodhidila was talking about, that purity that is within us. By nature, there is this purity. And when we get to that, we can give with no strings attached. We can be generous and we can give freely of energy. And there is that awareness around it. And again, it's not being tied up with the self. And particularly that sort of delusion that we are somehow separate from others. I think this is what happens in generosity, that we somehow measuring, you know, if I give, I'm taking something away from me. So there is this kind of exchange of energy, and there is this feeling of scarcity, you know. So if I give, that will kind of means there is not enough for me. So there is this, there is this, again, the self sort of protecting itself in some ways. And some of you will be familiar with Shantideva, which is like a 7th century Indian master. And he says of generosity, he says, "I am medicine for the sick. May I be both the doctor and their nurse until the sickness does not recur. May I be an inexhaustible treasure for impoverished beings. May I wait upon them with various forms of offering. And this text goes on where he is quite willing to just give this whole body for the benefit of others. And it's actually a challenging text. It's really challenging to hear somebody giving, you know, freely their limb because they think, yeah, have it. When I was traveling on a train back on Wednesday, I got a picture from my partner, and it was a cartoon, and it had really blue eyes, and I said, ooh, nice blue eyes, Akasha Mitra, and he says, have them. And you know, it refers to this story in Buddhism with a woman called Shubha, who was most beautiful. And when somebody commented on her eyes, she just went in, plucked them out and said, have them, have it, you know. And so it's challenging text because we're looking at it from a particular perspective. But when our mind is awakened, when we kind of really seen through different glasses, when we've really seen how actually connected we are with each other, how what impact we have on each other, then it makes more sense, you know, that there is a real liberation when you no longer might have that sense of lack if you're giving. And again, this requires real awareness. Shantideva was in the monastery practicing for years, although people thought that he was being very lazy, but actually he wasn't. He was practicing. And the text that he came up with was his total desire to serve others and for his mind to be in that awakened state all the time. So it requires awareness, because our mind, or my mind at the moment, don't know about your minds, but my mind is a fruit of conditioning. So there's been a process where I was in particular conditions, and I'm 44 now, so that's 44 years of conditioning, and that's if we only think about this lifetime, you know? Some of you might think other lifetimes, and who knows what other lifetimes there may be in that way. So these conditions reinforce over the years particular way of seeing the world, particular way of being in the world, and particular way of really experiencing ourselves in the world. And awareness helps us to untangle and recognize and be with, face to face with pain and suffering often, so we can begin to set a different groove, so we can recognize what's happening. And we can recognize what is our usual trajectory and beginning to change and do things slightly differently. So if we want to give energy, we can do it in different ways. So it can be in physical ways, it can be material objects, it can be money. You know, money in a way is just sort of concentrated energy in a symbolic sort of currency that we've made up. But behind each coin, there is energy there. You know, there's somebody's labor behind how those money came about. So we can give physically, but we can also give our time, or our skills, and we can give emotionally. So when you witness somebody, when you are with somebody and they can just be in whatever is happening for them, that is an enormous gift, being with somebody. And it can be clear and honest communication. You can give information to people sometimes. When people know, I find that really touching on Zoom, when people sort of really open up and say what is happening for them and explain things, because that is a gift that you give to others, because they know what's happening for you, because they've heard it from you. They don't have to make up their stories and kind of be guessing. So that can be a gift as well. And even like teaching can be a gift. And I suppose in Buddhism we think of giving Dharma or sharing sort of the truth, sharing teachings is a gift as well. I just want to share with you this story. It's called The Wise Woman's Stone, and I don't know who wrote it. It says unknown author. But he says, a wise woman was traveling in the mountains and she found a precious stone in a stream. And then the next day she met another traveler who was hungry. And the wise woman opened her bag to share her food. And the hungry traveler saw the precious jewel in the bag and said, could you give the precious jewel to me? And she said, yeah, have it. Have the precious jewel. And the traveler left and rejoiced in his good fortune. And because he knew that the stone would just give him enough security for a lifetime. So it wasn't that he wouldn't be hungry for the day. He knew that that precious stone would just sort him out for the time. But a few days later, he came back to the woman and he returned the stone to the wise woman and said, you know, I've been thinking, he said, and I know how valuable the stone is. Oh, I feel really moved by this. But he says, I'm going to give it back, and I'm going to give it back to you in the hope that you can give me something even more precious, that you can give me what you have within that enabled you to give me that precious stone. And I think with the energy precept here, that's what we're talking about. This is what we're cultivating here. We are cultivating a way of being in the world that that recognizes how connected we are, and that recognizes what actually makes us happy, what actually relieves suffering. And the tantric precepts, you know, it's called tantric precepts, and especially in sort of Tibet, sort of this approach to practices is focusing on accomplishing and mastery. And it takes years. I've been sort of focusing on mind training, and when you hear about the people who've trained, it's often like 12 years. You know, he went to these teachers and he stayed for 12 years, and after 12 years he then went to another teacher, and then he decided to teach, and he had a disciple, and that disciple was with him for 12 years, and the first 4 years he was just doing the starting practices, the preliminaries, you know, the basics, the foundations. So I just want us to bear that in mind, that what we are embarking on, the time scale of it, and that practice, that we bring that kindness to it, being able to not drain other people's energy, and being able to give freely, it's a practice, and there is a lot of conditioning that we have to untangle, and we need to work with, and that requires enormous amount of kindness, compassion for ourselves in the process. And it also requires this real perspective, and I get a bit dizzy when I hear, you know, when I look at some physics articles and when they talk about energy and about the universe, and they talk about atoms and within atoms having these protons, electrons, neutrons, but having these empty spaces. And all of that is constantly in flux. And all of that is kind of intermingled. So we are energetic beings. And there is a bit of a mystery to this as well. And I think Amoghasiddhi and Green Tara sort of embody that mystery. We heard that in the, we heard it in the puja when we were saying mysterious lady, calling on Green Tara. So there is a certain mystery to it. And yeah, so I just want us to be aware that when we practicing these tantric precepts, or if we might take them on, that we're taking on something that may take time to cultivate, and that may time to transform, that energy transformed. Yeah, it might take some effort, and we need to do it in a kind way, given where we are, and each of us being very individual in our conditions, and it might look differently for us at different times. Because what happens is that if we give and we're not ready for that giving, that is painful, because what we then reinforcing is, you know, the craving, aversion, it could be even hatred. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to go down that particular route, or down that particular channel. We want to be going down the channel of generosity, of that openness, no strings attached. So I suggest we just finish with a period of practice. So we'll do a little bit of imaginative meditation here. So I invite you to find a way of sitting that will be supportive. And just reconnecting ourselves with the earth. And really feeling the energy flowing. And having that trajectory downwards into the ground, allowing us to sit or if you're lying down, to lie down and just be fully supported by the earth. As belonging, we are part of the earth. It's that energy flowing downwards through our being. That connects us, makes us part of the earth, part of the world, having our space. As you're sitting here, I want you in your imagination to just give yourself whatever you need right now. And if you can, let your imagination go. So if it is kindness, well, make an offering for yourself of buckets of kindness. Give yourself oceans of kindness, rivers, mountains of kindness. Just offering whatever is needed at this point. You can bring to mind a friend, noticing their energy, noticing your energy as you bring them to mind. just making offerings to your friend. May you have Amoghasiddhi's courage. And fearlessness. May you have Tara's compassion to leap forward to others. So just making offerings to your friend. And since you're part of this earth, there are no limits on your giving in this imagination. Letting your friend dissolve. And bringing to mind a person you might not know that well. Somebody that you might not have strong feelings about, either way. And see if you can give offerings to them. What would bring them joy? And just noticing whether there is any stickiness in your giving. If there is, bring kindness to it. And if it's freely going, then unleash your imagination. Letting that person dissolve. And bringing to mind the person that you find difficult. There might be some aversion. Just notice that energy. Notice whether there is any tightening happening. See if you can just let that go. If there can be some openness. What's there that you could offer this person? Maybe just spaciousness. Fields of spaciousness for them. Might be rivers of patience. So whatever that is, are you able to offer them freely? And just noticing what's happening within the body. Recollecting the earth. The earth nourishing you from below. If you can bring more people into your mind, beings, it could be that you Give them the rain of the Dharma. It could be that you offer showers of blessings to them. May all beings benefit from us practicing in this way. So thank you everyone for practicing together. In a way, we're giving energy to each other by being here and doing this work or play together. So thank you. And it might be that you take the practices, Green Tara Amoghasiddhi, and the two precepts into the night, and just know how to effortlessly work with those over the night, or day for Justine, into the day. And we'll meet each other in 11 and a half hours. So until then, may you go well.